Warning! The following podcast you're about to hear may contain explicit Nottingham words like chelp, yitney, desi, crufty, kalide, shut your pan, you sucky lump of barb, wano, and your mam is well crufty. And some swear words.
Stone Soup Studios. TheStoneSoupProject.com.
Hi again, welcome to Pottingham 4. Coming up, I've got James Walker, who's the literature editor of Left Lion magazine. I've got a two-part interview with him, which is really interesting stuff, so I hope you're going to enjoy that. I've got Nish coming in to talk about the next issue of the magazine and no doubt other stuff relating to the mighty Nish Lord. I've got the Smears also, and that's going to be fun. That's a female punk group, and I think you're going to enjoy the energy of all this. And to start us off, I have Will Forrest. How you doing, Will?
I'm all right, thanks.
Now, if you've listened to Pottingham before, you know I've been saying I'm going to mug this guy for ages and get him on the mic. And now we've got him glued into the seat and he can't move. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm not bad, thanks. Yeah,
cool. Good. What are you going to plug? What are you going to tell me about today, dude?
Well, basically, I run a night, a charity-funded night called Eclectic. It's basically a night. We cover a whole range of different styles of music.
You're better with a name like that. Where's it at?
It's at Moog. On Friday the 3rd of April.
Right, Moog, just in case, because Moog's one of those places that people find very hard to find.
Yeah.
Give some good directions.
Basically, if you go up off Fritton Road, past Canning Circus, there's a road on your right called Newdegate Street. And, giggly. And, just down there.
Yeah, you'll hear it if you get to that point, won't you? Let's think, okay, so, and this is on, you say Friday the 31st, was it?
No, Friday the 3rd of April.
Ah, beg your pardon.
Yeah.
And what sort of sounds are people going to hear?
Well, basically, we got hip-hop, dubstep, drum and bass, funk, soul, jazz, reggae, and electronica, and minimal techno.
Right, so what sets this night aside from other nights, would you say?
Well, the fact that we cover quite a lot of different styles in a small space. The main thing we're trying to do is spread awareness about psychosis, because we're basically a growing charity, and the point of the charity is to improve the life of people who've been suffering from psychosis, which is quite a serious mental illness.
Quite, yeah.
It affects 1 in 100 people, and a lot of people don't understand that you can't actually make a full recovery from it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can live a perfectly good life.
Yeah, it's a question of being able to live with it as well as suffering
definitely.
From it, which is kind of this is kind of quite personal to both of us, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
We have our moments.
Yeah.
So it is quite a personal thing. So you're going to be playing the music, but it's also. I'm trying to connect the two together. Are you going to be promoting information to people about psychosis?
There will be information. Well, there's information on the flyers. Mm. Basically, if you know anyone who's had the symptoms of psychosis, then there's a number to call or a website to visit.
Oh, right, okay. So for a lot of people, that is just by itself could be quite useful.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing also, there's this idea of taking away the stigma, isn't it?
Yeah, the stigma's a big part in psychosis. I mean, it's been around for so long. Well,
all the great prophets clearly suffered from...
Sid Barrett, John Nash.
I was thinking of other ones in holy
Plato.
Books. But I'm not naming names. You know what I mean? But, that sort of behaviour would be classed as psychosis in the modern day. And yet, we have... I guess maybe it's a rationalistic approach. Now we tend to see any difference in mental function as some kind of dangerous aberration, whereas it doesn't have to be. There are skills I've got that I wouldn't have if I was totally quote-unquote sane, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that extends to a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I think it's good just to break that. So I guess there's the thing, just to remind people where we are and when they can come.
Yeah, we've got five DJs at the next night.
Oh, cool.
We've got RK, you may have heard of him. He plays around Nottingham quite a lot. He's pretty good. He plays at... We had Steel Motion at the last Pottingham. Paul Weaver-Smith plays minimal techno and techno, quite heavy stuff.
I think I've seen him play with you guys in the past.
He's played at all the Eclectic so far.
I know the guy you mean.
Yeah.
That's a good set. That's a very good set, yeah.
Yeah, me, Beatmaster Bill's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Scampy Pete. Yeah, and then my good friend Thinking Man doing the visuals.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, that should be fun. We're just projecting on the walls. That'll be hoot.
Yeah.
I think that could be a real fun night. So go on. I know I'm biased, obviously. Give us the details one more time then.
Yeah, well, just to recap, it's Friday the 3rd of April at Moog. All sorts of different styles of music. So, if you like hip-hop, dubstep, drum and bass, definitely come down because there's going to be a lot of dubstep. I just discovered that recently. I'm loving it at the moment.
Oh, cool.
So, and then there's also soul, jazz, reggae, and electronica. Just, pretty good. No boundaries, just good music.
I think that sounds like a good place to start that and stop this. Are you going to play as a tune? Is this one of your own tunes?
Yeah, this is one I made a while ago with an open source MC called MC Proteus. You may have heard of him if you're... He spreads himself around the internet quite a lot. He's from Canada. But
so he just makes himself available to folks?
Yeah, basically.
How cool is that, man?
Yeah. And I made a track with him, and it's called Game Chander.
Gore dripping from fangs, glowing eyes, b-boy slang, talk like an assassin, synergy hologram, cybogasm, apocalypse, insane space doctor with the poisonous forceps, swamp monster, brain contortionist, obscenity launcher, shapeshifter, fire manipulator, shoplifter, face eater, cog talker, LSD victim.
Cult Radio, bringing you the very best in Nottingham dance music.
Well, if Pottingham's a culture vulture, we're spreading our wings a little bit now. The whole idea of Pottingham eventually is to try to cover across the arts. We've been very much geared up towards various forms of music thus far, but I'm hoping to change that a little bit and to get us started. I've got James Walker, who's the literature editor of Left Lion magazine. James, how are you, man?
I'm very good, thank you.
Groovy. So, how did you get involved with Left Lion?
There's quite a few reasons, really. The main thing for me was it seemed to be a very music-orientated paper when I first came across it. Yeah. And I thought you were really, really missing out on a lot of good local authors.
Oh, I can get out of that. That's not me. That's them. I take your point. Sorry, I take your point. So you felt that, essentially, as you say, focus too much on music, not covering all the arts or just particularly written stuff?
Well, I think it needs to cover... You can't call yourself an arts and culture magazine and only cover music, so I would like to broaden it more and more. We've slowly introduced a bit of literature, a bit of poetry, and there's no room to stop, you know, bringing a bit of classical music as well. I don't want to come across as an elitist, by the way, but, you know, there are a lot of things that can be written about.
Stephen Fry on the phone, he reckons you're a snob. OK, so, specifically, you have Right Lion. That's under your auspices, yeah?
Yeah, Right Lion was set up, I think, about a couple of years ago. Or the name Right Lion, it was just the creative forum at the time. And that's just where anyone can pitch an idea, pitch a poem. It's kind of like a self-help forum, I suppose, where other contributors say, this is rubbish, this is great, change this, how about using this kind of word?
Oh, so it's a proper forum, and then what, the finished results are in the mag, is that kind of how it...
Yeah, we basically, towards the end of the month, siphon our way through it and pick out what we perceive to be either the most topical poems or the best poems.
That's an awful kind of word to try to apply, I'm sure. You know, how do you judge one against another? Must be a nightmare.
Yeah, well, I suppose really it's trying to get a mix of different contributors as well, you know, because obviously there are some people that write great stuff, but you don't want just to be featuring them all the time. So we try and get a variety of different writers in if we can.
So give me an example. Who have you got writing for you recently?
Well, one person I like is a young gentleman called Jack Twat.
Right,
and Jack Twat takes a kind of schoolboy approach to poetry in the sense that he writes in rhyming couplets.
Cool.
so it's old school, but does do well
does
is...
Does he stand well?
he rips apart celebrity culture, television programmes. You know, I'm sure there'll be a poem about Jade Goody coming up sooner or later. So.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe I'll get him in here. If I get him in here in time, he can debut here if I'm lucky.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure he'd be interested.
Cool. That'd be good. Who else? Any sort of other distinctive voices you come across?
There's a young lad called Gareth Duraso who's really starting to take off. He's going to be appearing at the Oxjam poetry event on, I think it's March 22nd. He's also involved in a few drama workshops where he's producing his own play. So from a very selfish perspective, it's very nice to come across someone that's just starting out and watch them develop so well. So I've got real high hopes for him at the moment. And he's just sent some stuff off to Simon Armitage, who was really impressed and has forwarded stuff to Faber and Faber. So, you know.
That's quite... I mean, obviously, we're living crazy times economically, but...
Yeah, but I just think, you know, you get a real mix of talent, people that need to nurture the talent, and then just people that just want to sound off about, you know, the recession or credit crunch, as it's been called recently.
God, and all the other bloody awful terms. Another bubble bites the dust. So, what else? We've covered that you do write Lion, but I know coming up you've got this poetry summit that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I think this is really important. The recession's affected people in many ways, but poetry has really felt the impact in the sense that a lot of funding's been pulled out.
Well, all the arts, really, I'm guessing.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. But we're seeing a lot of really established publishing houses and organisations and events fearing the punch, really. And we've got a meeting on the 25th of March. Basically, anybody involved in literature... It's going to sit together over a couple of cups of coffee, a few cigarettes, and see what we can all collectively do to promote poetry in the city and keep it alive, really.
Well, I mean, that's the classic solution, isn't it? Getting together with coffee and cigarettes. But it's a shame that it's kind of you having to, you know, being drawn together because times are so tough, I suppose. But I do remember, as we discussed this before, I've been up to the Maze and there were sort of the council-funded events going on, weren't there? Yeah, I suppose it's the first thing to go, realistically. A lot of people, you know, are suffering an awful lot and they'll be the first to say, well, you know, why should we pay for this sort of stuff? And that is a worldview, you know. It's not my worldview, but it is a worldview.
Well, it's happened with everything. If you look at the lottery, for instance, that was originally to help fund, you know, the arts and things that didn't get money.
And just get siphoned off.
That's siphoned out as well. Everything becomes a pool for economics. And I'm not saying poetry changes the world, but... I think if people are a bit frustrated,
though, I'd make that claim for sure.
Well, this is it. I mean, if you need to outlet a bit of angst, express something, and somebody listens, I don't know, maybe you sleep a little easier at night. So, the hope is that we can collaborate together in whichever ways possible, either through people coming to do podcasts here, incorporating spoken word events at the Left Line Music events, or simply publishing poetry to give people the confidence to take it, you know, that step further.
And these are all three doable things. That's
totally
the point
doable.
About it. I mean, anyone who's listened to the previous podcasts will know I've got a bee in my bonnet. I like the idea of being people enabled to do stuff. And it's one of the great strengths, both of, I banged on about it, about off Stone Soup, and it's a great strength of Left Line. And that's the thing, really, that... It is there to be done if you want to, which is a happy place to have a little bit of a pause, but please don't go away, James, because I've got a couple of other things to talk about after a bit of music.
Stone Soup Studios. For more information, go to thestonesoupproject.com.
So, this is The Money with Start Again. This is from their new album, A Secret Shared, and you can find it at www.showmethemoneymusic.com.
Aging ain't no crime. fingers on the trigger now, but it has been for a while. My life like eyes can open, what's unsaid is spoken. You can feel an empty sky.
Still with me, I've got James Walker, and under your remit as a literature editor, you're also concerned with reviews, reviewing, I guess.
Yeah, that's a big part of the magazine. It's an opportunity to get across a wide variety of publications, and we try and mix and match each issue. So we've got a mix of poetry, mix of magazines, mix of books, mix of established authors, self-published authors as well. So for the next edition, for example, we've got a review of a new poetry book that's been released by a local publisher.
That sounds good.
And it's quite a novel idea, really. That's what we liked about it so much. It's actually a poetry pamphlet that you give to someone as a kind of card.
Like a business card type card? A greetings card card?
Yeah, so instead of, you know, it's someone's birthday or Valentine's Day or something like that, you know, you have to go and buy a vile teddy bear card or something and give it to someone. Now you can give them a little collection of poems from various authors. That was a great idea by a
local
publisher.
Are these local?
I can't unfortunately remember the publisher off the top of my head.
I live my life that way. Believe me, details are a stranger to Pottingham. We don't do details in Pottingham. Perfectly fine. Cool.
And then the other reviews, this biography of John Stuart Mill, which he, obviously the man responsible supposedly for our current liberal society.
Long may it last, though it's looking a bit shaky at the moment.
Yeah, which is why I felt the review needed to go in. People needed to be reminded what liberty actually means. So, you know, you've got a bit of biography, a bit of poetry, a bit of local stuff. So we kind of mix it up each edition.
The basis quite well.
Yeah, and I mean, if anyone ever wants anything reviewed, then they just need to either contact me at books@leftline.co.uk or go on the website, and we're happy to review anything Nottingham-based.
Beyond the review, though, I'm guessing we may as well do it all in one go. I mean, submissions also for Right Line, they would send those?
Yeah. I mean, again, with the submissions for Right Line, you can either send it direct to me at the Books email address or just join the Right Line forum. The whole point of the forum is to create a writing community in Nottingham to put people in touch with each other. You might, for example, be a graphic designer that wants to get in touch with a writer and maybe illustrate their work. It can be really mutually beneficial. People selecting poems might get in contact with people that are doing drama workshops or spoken word events. So it's entirely up to the people of Nottingham how this goes.
It's a form, isn't it? It makes itself. I mean,
the more people that join it, the more ideas people are going to get. So I would really encourage people to do it.
Well, actually, I've said this, and hopefully I will be following through. I should think I will. Yeah, I quite fancy joining myself, actually. I need to kick up the backside, start writing again, to be honest with you. It's been too long.
And they're very supportive on the website, to be honest with you. You don't really get any slatings, as it were.
Oh, you'd hope not. No, you'd hope not. No, I mean, I suppose it can happen. I mean, some fora. That's so pleasant. I got so used to calling it forums there. That's no good, is it? So, the one thing we haven't covered, I guess, is the interview side. You've got a heck of a remit, actually. Sounds really awful. But I hadn't realised, you know, I read the mail, I hadn't quite realised quite what a remit you've got. You've got quite a lot on your plate, haven't you?
It just means I have to get up early to read a lot, to be honest with you.
That's one of the great joys in life.
Yeah.
Reading a lot. I mean, getting up in the morning, well, that's debatable.
Well, it sets you off, to be honest with you. I usually get up at about 6 o'clock in the morning and read for about an hour, then get ready for work. So it just sets you in a nice little tone for the day, depending, of course, on the book you're reading.
Well, tell me about it. Yeah. Oh no, don't tell me about it. No, actually, I'm cherishing what I think is my last Umberto Eco novel. I think it's the last one I haven't read. As far as I know, it is. No, I don't want to read it.
It's not Foucault's Pendulum, is it?
Oh no, I love that one. That's my favourite. As I started with it, and everyone said, well, the thing is, I kind of spotted quite quickly the opening chapter as some kind of guard, basically. If you can get past the singularity of the point of suspension, the binary nature of the oscillation in space and all the rest of it, you can get through that paragraph, you can read the whole book.
There's quite a few people I've met that is their favourite book, so maybe there's something in it.
Sincerely, well, actually, if you want to talk favourite books, it dragged me totally off all over the place. Third Life of Grange Copeland, The Meridian by Alice Walker, they're astonishing books. I like Franz Kafka, and fuck anybody who thinks it's more than it is. But I find a simplicity in there and a truth in there that people never seem to allude to when they talk about Kafkaesque. Anyway, I'm burbling. Tell me about your interviews before we wind this up. You got me going now, I told you. Yeah, writing, man.
Interviews, again, we've tried to get a real variety of people. For me personally, John McGregor is the greatest local writer, without a doubt. He will, I predicted, win the Booker by his fifth novel. I'm hoping he'll do it before then. And I don't know how his debut novel didn't win it. Nicky Moynihan, again, another great writer. Her first novel, The Killing Jar, looks as if it may be turned into a film. So we'll have a bit of council estate angst to add to Nottingham's reputation.
Oh, just don't let it be Shane Meadows directing this time.
Alan Sillitoe, of course, is the god of Nottingham and probably the inspiration behind Left Line magazine, you know. So interviewing him was a great honour. But then, of course, there's the people that have self-published. One guy in particular, King Henry, who we interviewed a few issues back, is the most entertaining person I think I've interviewed.
And you're saying to me I should get him on here, aren't you?
You should do, because this guy's tongue could kill people, you know. That this man has verve and wit. His book's a bit of a... It's a tough one to get through because it's very extreme, but I think people like that need a voice, and that's what Left Line is all about, giving a voice not just to the established authors but local people that have had the guts to, you know, self-publish themselves.
Well, some of art is some form of insanity, do you know what I mean? People bang their heads on a wall, but it's true, you know. I mean, how many artists die in penury only to be valued long after the death? You know, Kafka wanted, back to Kafka, wanted all his works burning, didn't he? Do you know what I mean? A lot of people don't, in inverted commas, making it. And what's making it these days? Back to celebrity culture. Do you want to go there?
No, I think there's enough about celebrity culture. We'll leave that to Jack Twat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Groovy. So, anything else you want to cover?
Yeah, I think I wanted to talk just a little bit about the next issue that's coming out towards the end of March. And you can kind of see, I suppose, where the literature mind of the magazine is coming from. You have a biography review in there of John Stuart Mill on Liberty. Yeah. And the reason that has gone in, which also ties in with the frustrating poems about the recession, is because...
This is in the latest right line that's coming out in the next magazine.
Yeah. Cool. It's an interview with an author called Kester Aspden, and he's written a book called The Hounding of David Oluwole. David Oluwole was a Nigerian chap who came over to Britain in the early 50s, and was subsequently killed by some policemen in Leeds and drowned in the River Aire. And he won the CWA for non-fiction in 2008, and I thought that he was such an important voice to get in the magazine, because obviously within a recession there's going to be a lot of scapegoats for our ills, and unfortunately it won't be the politicians.
No.
It will be with people, different colour, different lifestyles, that are going to be the ones getting the bang in the face. So I was really, really eager to interview this man. And of course...
Just to juxtapose it against the whole idea of people expressing the tension, which is kind of almost like the siren call for watch out, these tensions go somewhere. And at the same time, you've got this interbalance, maybe.
Yeah. You know, we always make folk devils in times of frustration. So
yeah.
This is a really important book, and it ties in with the Liberty Review. And it's also a play that's showing at the Nottingham Playhouse. I think it runs from the 31st of March to the 4th of April. But it is one of the most beautiful plays I've ever been to see. It's really inspiring but utterly depressing towards the end. And that's what you should feel, I think, when you read a good book or you watch a good play.
I'm not sure the depression at the end is entirely obligatory in my mind, but I'm willing to go up to that point.
Depressing...
We want to go on a journey.
Well, the depression comes from the actual system and the injustices that are... created every day in society. The joy comes from seeing the hopes and ambitions of a young, innocent man
that coming, aren't crushed.
Yeah, you know, he's been indoctrinated by the British way in his home of Nigeria, uh-huh. And he's come over thinking that Britain's a great and wonderful country.
Experience. I remember being in Sri Lanka and this guy just telling me what a wonderful place the UK was and how great we'd been for his country, which if you're in the Tamil part of the population in Sri Lanka, was true, but... I remember I was very young myself, and it was a strange thing to have this very elderly gentleman praising me, and just his view was so naive and so very, very sweet. It sticks with me now. So,
but the naivety stems from the kind of colonising, doesn't it?
Well, of course everybody's told that everything's wonderful. Quite a lot of people have migrated to the UK over the last 50 years and got here and found it incredibly dull, grey, wet and cold. That's what they expected.
But this is why it is so important, because David Oluwole will not be the last homeless refugee murdered. Hopefully it'd be the last murdered refugee by the police. Yeah. But as for other people, who knows? So I think, you know, it's going to be quite a serious issue, this one, to be honest with you. And we've obviously also got the anniversary of Hillsborough from a Nottingham perspective, which has always been ignored, perhaps rightly so, seeing as so many Liverpool fans died. So
it kind of wasn't about us, though I'm sure for a lot of people who were there it was, but
Left Line is roaring, this next issue. It is literally roaring with a bit of politics, so...
Well, I think we're glad to hear that.
Yeah, definitely, it's needed.
I think it's a great place to leave it. James Walker, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You were calling on the way to the bedroom, calling over me.
That was The Smears and Deliverance, and I've got Miss C, Mamie V, and C Doll here. How are you guys?
Hey!
Hi, thank you.
Cool. What are you going to tell me? What are you up to?
Oh, we've just finished practice.
Yeah. How's that?
Awesome.
Yeah, you look like you've got a lot of energy.
Written a new song.
Cool, what, tonight?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fresh, what's that called?
We can't tell you the working title.
Oh, no, we can.
It's Poddingham, so you like.
No. We can't.
It's called just... a go-go at the moment.
Oh, that's it, a go-go.
Right.
But the working title...
Can we not say it?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, go on.
Cobain a go-go.
Cool, you need a sample of a shotgun, don't you?
Yeah, that's exactly what we said.
Thank you.
We've got a bit in it where we all stop and we're just like...
sweet.
It's all going to change, but that's the working title.
Well, I'll do both of them. Do you know what I mean? Do the crazy version and the same version. So you've got a new album out though, haven't you?
Yes, well.
This isn't going on that, is it?
No. Strangely, we've managed to get all our tracks on an album, and now we've written a hell of a lot more new songs.
A lot of people do that.
That we want to play instead of what we've got to promote. But
a lot of people do that, though, don't they? Do you know what I mean? You struggle to get. Is it the first album you've just done?
Mm. We've done a lot of stuff on our own. We are so self-sufficient, and then somebody came along and said, "Here's some money. We want to put your vinyl out." So now someone else has got some input.
Yeah.
It's been actually pretty cool. So we've got all those tracks down and now they've gone and we can work on some new ones.
Oddly enough,
it's still the same amount of time as a single.
Yeah. Is it what, 8 tracks on a 10-inch?
Nine tracks
on a 10-inch.
Right.
And it's still only about 15 minutes long.
No, but that's cool though, isn't it? I mean, if you think, I mean, most pop songs used to be like really short. You look at old Beach Boys stuff, they're like under 2 minutes, a lot of them. A lot of singles were really quick.
We're lucky if we reach a minute.
We have got.
I've heard boy punk bands have similar problems.
Yeah, so have we, actually.
Oh, no, don't. No, but that's good, that's not a problem. Because, I mean, you take an idea, you do it, there's no point dragging it on for 3 times as long so it sounds like a proper length single.
We get bored playing it.
Exactly.
We're not there to kind of style about, we're there to have a really good time.
Yeah, cool.
You know, we've worked so hard to get to where we are, there's no point in standing on the stage and going, oh, you're going to listen to me, man, I'm going to be really miserable.
Yeah, blah, blah. Bass solo, boom,
do-do-do, yeah.
Do it again.
I'm in so much pain. My life is funded by my mum and dad.
Cynical. So how did you guys actually meet in the first place?
I came to Nottingham from Liverpool.
Right.
To get out of the terrible situation I was in. With terrible people I was hanging around, and I wanted to come to a city that I thought would have some decent musicians in, so I came to Nottingham.
Good choice.
Yeah, I think so, because I couldn't have met two of the coolest girls on the planet if I had tried, man.
Well, how's that?
Yeah, it's really cool to come to a city, and I was in university and didn't even bother with acknowledging any of my peers in university because I met like these guys and everybody else evolved around it.
So you had your own scene rather than just sticking with
that. A lot more into Nottingham, yeah, than I was into being a student. Hmm. So that was cool, but I was trawling around for a band and then saw the best advert I'd ever seen in my life, which was all written in crayon in multi-different...
Is this an advert, sorry?
Crayons,
right, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Because I used to trawl all the music shops and then...
I've done that myself.
Saw Nats. It's a chore, but it's kind of exciting. Yeah.
Well, it's good
and
if you find someone.
I saw Missy's advert.
Is that Misty Missy?
Yeah, she's a bit mystic.
Ah, yeah. Mystic?
Anyway, basically, it was lots of angst, but written in different coloured crayons.
Fantastic.
And at the end of it, it said, I don't even care if you're shit. And I was like, that's me! Totally appealed to me. So instead of saving her number on my phone, I miscalled. Like the lazy bitch that I am. I was like, oh, I'll just miss call. And she
You won belled her.
I was like, oh, I'll just do that, man. And then Nat got back to me straight away. And
I was desperate.
Fair enough. So you've been waiting.
Oh, thank you.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Yeah. Will you put that in my Valentine's card?
I knew that it was a number I didn't know. So I was like, well, that must be someone.
It's got to be someone I know.
Actually, no, I was waiting at the shop around the corner, like, rocking backwards and forwards.
Oh, please.
There's got to be someone. So it's really, really lucky, actually. And then we had like 5 drummers in 2 years, and they were so terrible.
I hope you hear this,
you lot, because you were the worst drummers. I would like to actually,
but
you were the worst drummers we've ever come across. And And especially because, like, three of you were girls. Ugh, be ashamed. And
because you reckon they were letting the girls down?
They were just crap.
Right. Fair enough.
I don't know what they were doing, but it wasn't drumming. And right. then, and
no,
then,
no, no. One of them was good, but she was just too religious. She wouldn't let us swear. Not that that's a problem.
No, she did.
It fucking is.
I don't know.
I've been hanging around with punks.
She thought we weren't serious musicians, didn't she? She said, "You're not serious musicians." It's, oh God, I hope you've lost your drum kit now.
Really?
Yeah. How dare you say that to us? Well, how dare anyone say that to us? Of course, we're serious musicians.
But you hide it. You have a front, and then you have more serious.
No. If you take us on face value, you'll understand that we do play. We play really hard. We practice really hard, and we our songs are very simple, but they're quite intricate at the same time. And we do work at what we do. We do every aspect of it on our own. You know, and that is a serious musician to me. We're not just messing around, and mum and dad don't fund our music habit. And But no one ever has done that for us, though, have they? And no,
is this the value of it for you? That it's your thing?
Well, yeah, this is kind of... Rewind. I don't know, without meaning it to be the value, that's kind of what it's been. It's kind of... From like, watching... Like, turning up at gigs and having people completely ignore us, when we're obviously the only all-female band on the bill.
Right.
And people act like they don't know who we are.
Right.
We look at them and they're all haircuts. Not even... Just, yeah, when we very first started, and, like, they're all this haircut, mum and dad taking them to the gig and giving them... spoon-feeding them their music lessons and, you know, they have music rooms.
So
you think they
had it too easy and you've worked for
some
it?
Some of them, yeah, and we've worked our arses off to get where we are and do everything we've done. We've done this city proud.
There you
for
go.
For what we've done, man. There's
yeah,
not...
when I joined this band, I didn't even know how to play the bass.
Yeah, I was. I'd only just got a guitar because I didn't have a television.
Well, that's a fucking good way. No, that's get rid of your television.
We didn't have amps for two years, and we practiced in Emma's bedroom for 2 years without amps. Like,
I imagine you're playing the bass without an amp.
Yeah.
We played our gig. We played a gig, and we were like, "What's that noise?"
We tuned in. No, we plugged in for the first time at a gig. In Derby.
And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. All the women was wearing pastel suits and stuff. And we plugged in and started playing.
So out of place.
And see, when we was playing the songs, because we didn't understand what what to do on the amps and stuff, it started making
no
this
stage.
Wall of noise.
We had no idea of stage.
Oh, you started getting feedback coming through, didn't you?
Yeah, like,
and we just, whoa. I just stopped. Yeah. Dead song. I'm like, what's that? And she went, you told me to play it. And then we just continued playing. We had absolutely no idea, but we just knew we wanted to do something because there was no one...
No, I'm catching all of this. Yeah.
There was no one representing or doing what we wanted them to do.
So you went and did it yourself.
Yeah, that's the basic premise of this band. Right. If no one is doing it for you, if no one, you basically go and do it yourself.
Fair enough. But I'm going to pause you because I've not heard a word out of you yet.
I'm
Cedar. Okay.
Explain
Come
how
in.
You got
no, I was just about to explain how we got here.
Where are you now?
Yeah.
So, Cedar, what have you got to say for yourself, mate? Oh, I'm so good to wind up now. Go on then. We're going to get sulked out. What are we going to tell me?
I want to.
No, you. Come on.
Oh, me?
Oh, bloody hellfire. Right.
I didn't know you. I was sulking. And then we got rid of all these terrible drummers. And then... I sent an email out to basically every promoter, everybody in Nottingham, just spent a day sending emails out saying, if you don't help us, we're going to die and it'll be all your fault.
Right.
And one person got back and said, have you tried the Barmaid and the Old Angel?
Okay.
And I hadn't. And I rang the Old Angel and just said, we're in
the Barmaid, please.
Yeah, the Barmaid. Yeah. I believe you have a female barmaid who plays drums. Is she in? And just happened to be working.
We don't give away any real names around Pottingham, mate. Ixnay on the...
Yeah. Are you going to edit that out?
No, we don't edit. None of this is edited. I'm keeping you sulking. The whole bloody lot. Oh, you come round here sulking. Oh, man,
you have to take
what?
The names out.
No. Oh, sorry. We can bleep that out. Yeah, don't worry about
brilliant.
That. So how long have you been in the band, mate?
It'll be about 5.5 years now.
Christ almighty,
it's
so you've all
time.
Been playing together a long time.
Yeah.
They actually kept me.
I was going to say, all the rest
How could we get rid of you? It made total sense when you got here.
How's that? So I guess it, I mean, you had connection to the Old Angel. That must have been a good play. Have you gigged there? Or just...
Yeah, they just used me.
Yeah, she was. We just used her to get a step up in our career, man, and that's it.
At least they had the decency to keep you. They could have ditched you by now and found someone else who was useful.
That's exactly what we thought. Jesus, we've only had about 4 gigs.
Bless you. On the subject of which, right, you've got some gigs coming up. Let's promote the new album. What's the new album called? New album.
Helen High Heels.
Helen High Heels. Is that Helen as in the name or Hell In? Helen High Heels, cool. Anything else that alliterates? Have you got a gig coming up?
Yep, we've got a gig in London, but we've...
All right, is this like a showcase job?
It's more like a sort of all-day punk festival.
Oh, cool.
And that's on the 12th of April. And then we do have one coming up on the 30th of May in Loughborough. But
right.
Not anything here, because we've just finished playing the Rescue Rooms, and that was our own gig that we put on.
Yeah. We'll probably do our own gigs.
Probably. So, yeah, I think, yeah, we'll probably will
put the nights on ourselves.
In a couple of months' time.
Nearer to summer.
Yeah, choose the bands ourselves, have
cool.
like a proper
night
out. A
little festival, baby.
Yeah,
sort of like
well, we're looking at putting on
a mini festival
and things like that.
That'd be quite cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of work you're taking on, I guess, in the process, but as long as you get to play
and
enjoy
yourself.
That's
what we do. Yeah. That's what we do. That's what I'm saying. We do it completely ourselves, so we're used to it.
Yeah.
We will start.
It's all the more satisfying. I mean, one of the great things for me, I loved about being in a band, was having somebody leave a gig, you know, whistling a melody you've come up with.
Oh,
but,
yeah, definitely.
But if you know that on top of that, you've also put the whole bloody thing together and make the whole thing happen, and, you know, it's,
yeah.
I can imagine that's very satisfying, for sure.
Yeah.
What's this album called, anyway? You told me that, Helen High Heels.
Yeah,
and
we will be touring.
Yeah.
We will be touring, but we've got a lot of work to do on the promotion side of things before we do start... the tour. I think we're going to start touring in September.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
And then that'll be really intense, you know.
Just not hitting everywhere you can.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, presumably, hopefully by then we'll...
We did a really good tour in 2008, so we'll probably sort of match that times 10.
God, we played every week,
2 or 3 times.
Nice. Oh, you get in such a flow when you're playing like that, don't you? All the rehearsal in the room, rehearsal time in the world is one thing, but you're actually playing in front of an audience.
Yeah,
it's
and people
thing.
Were paying for us to go to places, and that was like... That was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Or we blagged our way onto a bill in London, because we got to London and the gig had been cancelled.
Right.
Nobody told us.
Okay.
And we were just a bit at a loss. So we went for dinner and we were like, right, what are we going to do? So we got changed into our stage outfits. And and we went and found a punk gig and managed to talk our way onto the bill.
And headlines.
Who did that?
Us three.
We all did it.
we just talked our way onto the bill and we headlined. And then from that, we've had people come from London when we played on New Year's Eve.
Right.
And they came down and supported us in Nottingham.
Brilliant.
And they came and had their New Year's Eve in Nottingham.
Aye.
Because after us blagging our way onto
brilliant.
The bill. And it's been
that's
a nice little connection. And we've met some seriously good people on that tour. So hopefully we can do it in a more condensed form and... in a different country.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, look, we've got another track coming up, which I'll get you guys to... Well, I was going to say I'll get you guys to introduce it, but I don't think I've told you which one it is. so I'm not sure we can necessarily do that. But if people want to check you out, have you got a MySpace and Facebook that can...
Definitely.
Yeah.
Go on, see.
Both, haven't we?
Right, well, give them the full address, just to make it easy.
We've got myspace.com/smearsuk. And what's the Facebook?
Facebook, I have no idea.
Just search for this.
So Facebook / I have no idea.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm sure if they just do a search.
Facebook, Schmeesbook.
They'll find it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Twitter now, dude.
Twitter? I don't even know that.
We're signed on Twitter.
Are you?
How often do you use it?
We've never used it.
Oh, it's just so last year, darling. Right,
I'm
going to round it up, guys. It's been.
I signed in and I was like, shit, I've signed up.
It's been a slightly anarchic, appropriate enough meeting. Good to chat with you.
It's really nice meeting you, and I love that queen top.
Yeah.
Oh, it's my punk repeller. I only put it on because I thought you might
your
scare
punk
them.
Repeller.
And it didn't work. They've scared me to death.
Oh, that's brilliant.
No, I'm teasing. All right, cool. So this is The Smears and Pieces. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. next Wednesday night. Don't stop at home in your pants eating cheesy watsits like a big old chat bag. Get your send down to the Golden Fleece on Mansfield Road for the Left Line Pub Quiz. £2 a team, a lovely bit of a disco, and the nicest pens in knots. Just some of the reasons to check out the Left Line Pub Quiz, the Golden Fleece, Mansfield Road, from 9 o'clock. The Left Line Pub Quiz, it's a piece of quiz.
Well, it's that time in Poddingham, you must know that now. We're kind of heading towards the end because appearing over the horizon like a shiny, shiny sun, it's only... I'll need him. How you doing, Nish?
Hello, mate. How are you? Hello, Nottingham.
I'm good. I hear good word about the new Left Line mag. I've got to say, James Walker was quite excited about it. What you got to tell me?
Good. Oh, well, we're putting together the next mag now, issue 28. We're getting very close 28. To the deadline. It's very hectic time of the month for everyone, really, particularly me, because I'm editing it this time.
Oh, good stuff. Well, glad to have you in talking about it. Cool.
Excellent. So, what do you want to know, mate?
What you got?
Well, okay. It's a bit of another dark one, I'm afraid.
We're not very happy
and we're not very clappy at the moment. The main pieces, to my mind, the main piece for me is we're doing a piece on the 20th anniversary of the Hillsborough disaster.
We decided
to do an oral history of the day, but from the point of view of Nottingham people, because obviously, you know, 20th
the
anniversary...
has always been on the other, yeah. Obviously, you know.
Yeah, for very obvious reasons. Yeah, I mean... You're going to hear a lot about it over the next month or so. April the 15th is the 20th anniversary.
But it must have been a very traumatic experience for a lot of the people who were there.
Totally, yes.
You know.
Totally. And you're going to hear a lot about it again because it's, you know, it was such a important and horrible event. You're going to hear a lot from the Liverpool side of things for very obvious reasons. After all, you know, it was their people who suffered. But on the other hand, we're a Nottingham culture magazine and, you know... There are thousands of people in this city who had to stand there and watch.
Yeah, exactly.
96 people
died. I mean,
it's
traumatic. Whoever saw it. Yeah. I mean, we're all the same country, the same human race, man. It's nasty.
And so, therefore, it's a story that hasn't really been told. So I've gone round and interviewed loads of people, and it's probably the hardest thing I've ever had to write because I'm getting so many people kind of like turning over things that they haven't. Kind of like talked about
kind of boxed up
for 20 years
yeah.
And it's extremely interesting and it's also a bit it's very disturbing as well, so I mean hopefully that will turn out. I have to say it's the hardest thing I've ever attempted to write in my life, trying to kind of like piece together different stories into one
cohesive sort of
into a narrative thread. So yeah,
well, maybe on the plus side, you've offered those people some degree of catharsis.
Maybe
whatever
so.
You brought up, maybe things need to be brought up in some, you know, in some
maybe
way.
Maybe so. Yeah. I mean, I want to reserve judgment on that until it's actually done. So
yeah. Well, good luck with it then.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck with that. I can appreciate that's a very, very difficult thing to bring together because you've got a lot of sensitivities involved and you want to, you know, find a truth in there.
Yeah. Using the word truth with Hillsborough is a
well, that's why I say a truth. It's a truth, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
that's the thing of it. So something a bit lighter. You've got Aid Edmondson as well.
Aid Edmondson, yes, he's playing. Obviously, was Vivian in the Young Ones. He was in Filthy Rich and Cat Flap and Bottom as Eddie Hitler.
He's got a band.
Yeah, he's got a band called the Bad Shepherds, and he plays punk songs, but in a folk style. He plays the mandolin. Obviously, he's had. Experience as a musician before because he was in Bad News, which was the band the heavy metal spoof band that was 2 years before Spinal Tap. He's playing Seven in May, I believe.
That's right. Yeah, do you remember we actually on the last podcast we had a little chat about it? Yeah, everyone's very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, totally. So we had an interview with him. Very interesting because it turned out that he actually used to live in Notts before the Young Ones. He had a girlfriend in who lived in Mapley.
Oh right.
And
was that the ward or the borough?
Yeah, I don't know, mate. But he was at university with her, and he used to come back in the summer and winter. And he actually worked at Port Farms during the summer.
Oh my God! Well, he's more Nottingham than I am. Yeah, he worked at Port Farms. Isn't that the proper definition of an Nottingham?
It probably is. So I mean, if you ate a pork pie about 26, 27 years ago, well, about 30 years ago, if you had a pork pie at the turn of the 80s, Vivian out of the Young Ones probably made it for you, which is a very disturbing thought, isn't it?
It really is. All right, so a bit more up to date, Chris Dempsey.
Joe Dempsey. Yeah, Joe Dempsey played Chris in Skins. Nottingham lad. He was from the Central Drama Workshop. Currently in LA at the moment, having a bit of a tout round in the because his mate, I can't remember his name, was in Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, right.
So he's around there having a sniff around, seeing what's going on. But he did take the time to talk to Left Lion because we've got that much stroke.
Yeah.
So he had a chat with Jared. So, yeah, there's that as well.
Well, of course, I mean, the Americans might know him from Robin Hood, from Nottingham.
That's right,
because
yeah.
he popped up in that briefly, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. So there's that. That's our entertainment kind of like end sorted out. Another piece that I'm very pleased to have in the mag is it's a piece about Selectadisc. Obviously, everyone's talking about Selectadisc at the moment.
It just seems weird. It doesn't seem possible.
It's weird how... It's not weird. It's rather predictable that so much love has kind of like poured out from everyone. Exactly, after the fact. Yeah. You know, we realise now that we're losing something that we'll probably never get back. I don't think there'll ever be a shop in Nottingham as special to so many people over so many generations as Selectadisc has.
To be honest, I mean, there aren't many places over the years that everyone's been treated so rudely by a member of the staff.
Well, you expect that from record shops, you know.
You do, no, that was it. It was a proper record shop where they look down your nose at you. I had, you know, you work in the corporate sphere, you've got to be lovely to everyone, whether you think they're scum or not. Yeah. I used to go in there and get sneered. That was part of the process.
I'll tell you what, I must say that I've worked at a worse record shop for that than today. I worked at the Record and Tape Exchange in Notting Hill, which half of London has worked at. And that, you know, it's one thing sneering down at people for wanting something, but if you really want to disrespect someone and their music taste, it's when they bring in like 100 albums and you say, I'll give you a tenner for them, mate. That's all they're worth.
Oh, no, that's crushing. Mate.
Yeah, oh, Imagine by John Lennon. Oh, we got 200 of those in the backyard, mate.
Do you know, I actually had a very similar experience at Selectadisc to that. I had to sell some stuff off because I was really in bad financial straits. There's no two ways about it. And I got so little for it. And I went past the following week and it was substantially more. I told them.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Very heartbreaking.
But I mean, the thing about Selectadisc is, the thing about this piece is obviously everyone's written about Selectadisc and said something about Selectadisc. We've come at it from a different angle because we've got a chap called Steve McLay, who's a proper journalist and everything, currently based in Amsterdam at the moment. But he got in touch with us and said, look, can I write this piece? Because I used to work at Selectadisc.
Oh, well,
and it was
go.
Like, well, yeah, that is...
That's perfect.
We definitely want to hear about that. So you're going to hear from... you're going to hear the viewpoint of someone who actually did some of the sneering. So, yeah, that'd be meant.
Cool. Okay, so you've also got... Yeah, I was going to call him Rob Hooters Cutworth.
Cutforth. Rob Cutforth, our Canadian in New Baseford.
Yeah.
He's on a roll at the moment.
Ain't he?
He got his column about Tales of Robin Hood read out by Ross Noble.
This is when he's on stage, wasn't
when
it?
He's on stage, yeah. Apparently, the story goes that Ross Noble was doing a gig in Knott's for Just a Tonic, and he mentioned that Tales of Robin Hood was shutting down. During his interval, someone came and chucked him a copy of Left Lion and said, oh, someone's written about that. He went up on stage and decided to read the whole piece out, thinking it was just some dry local newspaper rubbish.
Really? So he didn't know what he was...
He didn't know. And then then when he started reading, he started pissing himself laughing because it was a brilliant article. So, yeah, he read the whole thing out. So Rob's on a roll at the moment because he got Tales of Robin Hood shut down. he got Twiggy and Joe split up. So we're going for the hat trick because this issue we've sent him to Hooters, the only Hooters in the UK. We want to see if he can work his magic.
I was awful. Well, who knows, mate? I wouldn't care to speculate.
Yeah, so
it's quite a lot in this mag, isn't there?
It's extremely ran jam. And the last thing I want to mention is that the centre spread is it's a kid's story. It's basically a spoof of Thomas the Tank Engine called D.H. Lawrence, the Naughty Engine. it's done in the style of Reverend Audrey. But
was this set based on the train station?
Based on the trams.
Right.
It's a bit like Thomas the Tank Engine, but with more references to drug use and violence and unprotected sex in public.
Oh,
it's a good one. It's just
sounds a laugh.
Some bloke who, please forgive me, I can't remember his name at the moment, just said, oh, I like Left Lion, can you use this? And it's like, read it, and it's like, yeah, that's what we like. Brilliant. That's what we like, people approaching us and giving us good shit. And
fair enough,
it
mate.
Certainly is.
Okay, so
that's
the mag. Left Lion Might, that's coming up as well.
Left Lion Nights, yeah. The mag's going to be out on the last Friday of the month, but a week before that, on the 20th of of March.
Right.
We've got the next Left Line present. As always, it's free. It's at Brown's on Goose Gate in Auckland. Papal and Bass are playing.
Right.
Who are an excellent band. I'd tell you how mint they are, but why don't we just listen to a tune?
You had it.
Right, cool. That was Papa LaBasse, and you've had it. We've had Will Forrest, we've had James Walker, we've had the Smears, and of course we've had Nishin. But that's it. Pottingham goes forth, has gone forth, and quite possibly multiplied. Catch you for Pottingham 5, I hope, in the not-too-distant future. Peace, take it easy, have a good time.
Stone Soup Studios. For more information, go to thestonesoupproject.com.